What are we going to inspect? What manner of love the Father has given to us. We're going to be looking at that today. This message is called Look at This Love.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, thank you so much for the time that we have here on this earth. And I thank you so much that you're patient and you are kind. And I pray that you would help us to learn your word today and that we would get it and we would get it so strong. And I thank you and I praise you for the word that you have given today. I pray your blessing on it and that we would walk away knowing that we know your word and what you've said to us. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we have a few young people in here today, Joseph and Johnny, right? I got that right, but that's Johnny over there, right? Okay, glad to have you guys with us. And they're probably wondering, what kind of an old guy is this that's preaching to us right now? But I want to tell you that the Lord put a special message on my heart for today, and I'm excited to bring this. I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter 3. And as the Lord really began to pour this out, it's been just a great, great week in hearing what God wants to bring to us. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. When are we the sons and daughters of God? Right now, not waiting till we die and get to heaven. Right? But now we're the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself even as he is pure. Somebody thank God for His word this morning. Now, there's probably about four sermons that could come out of that passage of Scripture, and I'm going to preach them all today. Is that okay? Come on, we're ready till 6 o'clock tonight, right? Caleb, you're not saying amen here, all right? You know better than that, right? He said he's old, he won't last that long, right? So, right? No, I love Caleb. I pick on him all the time. And listen, but what I do want to bring out of this is a word that is right there in the very beginning of that text. It says, behold, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us. I want to talk about that word here just for a minute. Behold, the word itself in the Greek means to gaze at something that is remarkable. Have any of you ever seen something that you just, almost your jaw just drops and you're going like, wow, that is incredible. Something that you've never seen before. And you just stand there and look at it. I remember when Laura and I brought her mom, when she was still alive, one of the desires of her heart, she wanted to go see the Grand Canyon. And so we brought her to the Grand Canyon. And it was such an incredible sight. If you've never been there, how many of you have been to the Grand Canyon before? A couple of you have been. When the place that we went to, there was no railing, there was nothing. You just walk up and it drops straight down. And so you have to be very careful there in coming up to that edge. But to look at the splendor of the Grand Canyon and what it looks like when you're standing there. It's in almost a 3D dimension, and it almost overwhelms your mind. Who have ever been there, you look at that, and to me that was like, wow, this is incredible. And something that you can stand and you can gaze at and look at for a long period of time. And that's really what this word is, in amazement with your eyes gazing and earnest looking at, but a more continued inspection. That's an interesting definition of the word to behold. I want to spend time inspecting this. How many of you like to inspect things? Anybody? Two people. Okay, good. We're good. Rick, I know you do, right? You like to inspect things. How many of you, you have this inclination about you? You want to know how it works. Anybody? All right, couple of you. That's why Paula works where she works at, building things and helping people to figure out things. But we want to know, in this word, we are going to behold, we are going to look really intently into this and to inspect it. What are we going to inspect? What manner of love the Father has given to us. We're going to be looking at that today. This message is called Look at This Love. You know, we hear of the love of God. Almost the whole time that you've come to church, you hear of God's love. Today, amazingly enough, we sang several songs about God's love, did we not? And Dee didn't plan that. She didn't call me and said, hey, what are you going to be preaching about? We never do that because we want the Holy Spirit to take control and to give us what needs to be done in our services. And so the Lord began to deal with me this week, and I'm going to share something with you later on in the message as to why this message came about. But we want to look intently on the manner of love that God has bestowed upon us. How many of you know that you are loved? It doesn't make any difference what you feel like, What you're going through at the time or right now. You are loved. There is a God that is in heaven that loves you. And that love is not based upon what you do for Him. It's not based upon how good looking you are. And I say amen to that, right? I'm praising God for that. You know, so many people, they think, and they have these wonderful pictures of Jesus, Pastor Joseph and I think Rick, we're talking about this, this wonderful picture of Jesus. I think we talked about this Wednesday night in our Bible study, this long flowing hair and curly and, you know, beautiful trim beard. The Bible says that Jesus was not anything to look at. In modern day terms, His outward appearance was ugly. That's what that means, that He was nothing to look upon. He did not have the characteristics that people would look on Him and say, what a beautiful human being. So pretty, so handsome. The Bible says that that was not Him at all. And I think it was because God wanted to bring a son into the world that would say, it's not that outward beauty that God looks at. Amen? So it doesn't matter what we look like. You know, when we're younger, we get all caught up in the way that we look, and we spend time in the mirror, and kids make fun of other kids. You know, I got made fun of a lot when I was a kid. And it was just a constant thing throughout my upbringing. But I thank God the day that I realized that God does not look at the outward appearance. God looks and He loves for who we are. I want somebody to know that this morning, that it makes no difference what you look like. Big, small, glasses, no glasses, what your shape is. God does not care about that. He loves you. He wants you to look with amazement on that today. Looking at this, we're going to inspect God's love. Behold what manner. The Apostle John was saying this when he was writing this letter. And he says, folks, I want you to really look at this. I want you to really understand what God did for you in loving you. Now, let's talk about, first of all, who this was that was writing this. This was written from the man that had a deep love for Jesus Christ. He had a deep love for his Savior. This is the Apostle John, who we find throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John wrote the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is all about love. This was that same Apostle John that wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And this was the Apostle John that went to the Isle of Patmos. And that God spoke to him through the vision and gave him the book of Revelation. How many of you think John was important? And John is saying, listen, folks, I want you to really grasp this. I want you to never forget it. I want you to always look at the love that God has given to you. And so it's really important that we go here and talk about this man just for a little bit. He loved his Savior. And John showed it. I want you to go to John chapter 13. John's gospel that he wrote in John chapter 13. And it's interesting that he wrote this gospel, but when he describes what happens in the events, he doesn't say, this was me. Interesting, huh? And so here we are, John chapter 13, and we're going to pick this up, John chapter 13, verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now he and his heart is now beginning to open up and to share, and he says, I'm deeply troubled. I'm deeply hurting because one of you, the 12 that have been with me for the last 3 years, one of you is going to betray me. Now, how many of you have ever had a friend, what you thought was a friend for so long, betrayed you? And how deep that hurts, right? And what happens. And so, then the disciples looked one upon another, doubting of whom he spoke or spake of. Now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. He was talking about himself, folks. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be that who he spoke of. Then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus went on to explain that it would be Judas Iscariot, although they did not know that at the time. But the points that I want to bring out here is, how do we see this man, John? He says, as they were here and Jesus says this, John is leaning upon his bosom. He is leaning upon Jesus. Now, I do want to say this because in today's world, this in no way signifies any type of unnatural affection that some would argue today and say, well, there it is, the Bible promotes homosexuality. And there are many right now in the homosexual community that have started their own churches and use these kinds of scriptures to say that God promotes it and Jesus promotes it. That is not what this is speaking about at all. And I want you to understand this. That John the Apostle had a great love for his Savior. And when he hears his friend, his Savior, say that one of you is going to betray me, the love that is within his heart and leaning upon the Savior that he loves, it deeply affects him. Now, Peter, though, who does not have this affectionate love, Peter, in all of his infinite wisdom, says, "Hey, John, you're close to him. You're leaning on his bosom. You ask him who it is." The love that he had for his Savior, but also that we hear that Jesus had for John. You see, this is the man that understands the love of God. That even in all of that, how he loved him and Jesus loved him, where was John at the crucifixion when they came and got Jesus? He left. All of the disciples departed from Jesus. But Jesus still loved them. Amen? Behold, and this is why John is saying from personal experience, I know the love of God. Because I leaned on his breast. I leaned on him. I was close to him, but yet I left him in his time of need, and he still loved me. Behold, look intently at this. Look intently on how God loves you. All of us at one point or another, if you have done this, if you have made Christ your Lord and Savior and said, "Jesus, come into my life," and yet we have done things that have been against his heart, have we not? Even after coming to him in faith and saying, "God, I love you, forgive me," he still loves us. You see, his love is not based on what we do or what we don't do. And I'm so thankful for that. And again, I mentioned it earlier, I recognize every day that it's about him, not me. Because I can't make it happen. I cannot make Jesus love me because of all the things that I've done for him. Because it makes no difference what you've done for him. He loves you for who you are. See, this is not a deal. So many people think, well, if I just do this, 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 and this, God will love me more. Some of us were raised in homes where it was a working type thing. If I just could do enough, my parents would love me. My dad would love me. If I could just do enough, my mom would love me. And there's issues that have happened throughout our lives. Each and every one of us has a story to tell. And thinking, well, if I could just have done this, maybe they would have loved me more. Listen to me, folks. There is nothing that you can do that will make God love you any more than he already does. He loves you. I want you to get that. Behold, I want you to see that. He loves you. And you can hold on to that all the way to heaven. He loves you. You know, maybe John's love language, and some of you have heard me talk about love languages over the years. There's several of them, that there was a guy by the name of Gary Chapman that he was in ministry and counseling for many, many years, and he came up with what was called the five love languages, and I'm not going to talk about all those today, but one of them is the love language of physical touch. And those are individuals that express their love to others by just embracing and hugging and touching, and just, we're not talking anything unnatural, but we're just talking about this is the way that they show their love, by a physical touch. And how many of you know that probably physical touch is one of Pastor Jerry's love languages? I love to give you a hug, right? And that letting you know. And here's a wonderful thing about it. Laura didn't come from that, but she sure is now, praise God. See, we can learn. We can learn those things and learn love language. I believe that John probably had a love language of physical touch. He was leaning on Jesus' breast. And he said, I love you. I love you. He knew the love of Jesus. In so much that years later, when John's an old man, Jesus shows up on the Isle of Patmos. But he doesn't look the same as he did when John knew him. He is now King of Kings. And he comes to John. He says, I love you. And I'm about to share with you something that's a revelation that the world will need to know. I thank God. The Apostle John's love was genuine. And he had a heart of serving Jesus. This amazing love that John points out is what I want to take a look at. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now, we have heard that most of our lives, have we not? But now I want you to dig real deep here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, if you have never made a commitment to Jesus and you said, I've never given my life to Jesus, he wants you to know how much he loves you. That whoever would believe in him should not perish. In other words, should not go to hell. Believe in him. God did not send Jesus into this world to condemn it and to send us all to hell. He sent him into this world so that we could have eternal life. It's a choice that we get to make. Do we want that eternal life, or do we want to just shove God away and say, no, I don't want your love? God has a supernatural love for us that we don't understand. I want to look at some of these things. I want to examine them. Remember that we talked about we're going to inspect this love. So I want to look at several things that John points out here in that passage. What God has bestowed on us, his love. Number one. God loved us so much that he gave us his Son Jesus. Now you must understand that in the beginning, they all were there. God was there. Jesus was there. And the Holy Spirit was there. Okay? From the beginning. Now, God creates a plan for a wonderful world. And here's these man and woman that he puts in there. Wonderful. Wonderful. God has a wonderful plan. Everything is perfect. And mankind ruins it. End of story. Mankind ruins it. God could have said what, Sheila? You know what? I'm done with you all. You guys really messed this up. I had it perfect and you messed it up. How many ever get mad when you had something just perfect the way you wanted it and then someone comes along and just destroys it? Pastor Aaron's got his hand raised back there. Listen, God has set me free from many things. And one of them used to be that everything had to be perfect in our house. Everything had to have its place. Everything had to be in a place. This was here, this was here. This is the way that it goes, the way it's supposed to be. And then teenagers come along. Boys, teenage boys, right? Shoes everywhere. You never know where you're going to find something. Sock, one sock on the counter. Where'd that come from? You know? And everything in disarray. And I used to get so upset about it. But praise God, He delivered me from that. It doesn't matter anymore. Life isn't about everything being in its place. Life is about people loving each other. That's what it's about. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Now I'm not saying we should be slobs. God wants us to take care of the things that we have. We got some amens out of that. But it must not consume us to the point of loving each other. And how important that really, really is. See, God gave His Son. He gave His Son. Isaiah 53. Jump over there with me. Isaiah 53, we hear a little bit of the heart of God here when it comes to what happened in Him giving His Son. Isaiah 53, verse 10. This is one of the most interesting scriptures that, you know, came across when I was first reading the Word of God. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Talking about His Son, Jesus Christ. To give His Son and to let His Son die on a cross. And the first time I read this, I said, what kind of God is this that it pleased the Lord to give Him, to give His Son and let His Son endure the pain of the cross? And I wondered, and then as I read on, He hath put Him to grief when thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see of the travail of His soul, talking about Jesus and what He went through, and shall be satisfied. I'm thinking, God, by His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many. There it goes. Why did it please the Lord to give His Son Jesus on the cross? Because if that had not happened, many would not be justified. Many would not be forgiven. Many would not be able to come into this place called heaven. Do you understand why it pleased God now? Because it was because of us. I get sort of emotional. It was because of us. It was because of me that He did it. That's why He did it. Number two, God loved so much that He sent Jesus to become a man, to experience our pain after we were loaded down and laden down with the sin that came from Adam and Eve. See, we're born into sin. End of story, we're born into sin. And we have that sin nature. And that's why we need Jesus. And that's why we need Him in our lives. He sent Jesus to experience our pain. I want you to look with me over at Hebrews chapter 4. And we're just now starting to study Hebrews on Wednesday night. So if you'd like to join us It's going to be really good and detailed in here, but Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Verse 15 says, this high priest understands everything that we're going through. Everything. I want you to understand what that means. Everything that we're going through. He felt every one of our sicknesses. He felt all of our pain that we go through. Our emotional pains, our hurts, our longings, our sorrows. Everything that we go through, he felt it, becoming a man. That's how much God loved us, that he sent his son Jesus now that he could experience this. You say, well, how did he do that without sin? Because the Bible is very clear that he went through this lifetime as a human being, yet without sin. How could he experience all the things that we go through without sin? Paul gives us the answer to that over in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. It was done through the death on the cross. He made him to be sin who knew no sin. When Jesus hung on the cross, he experienced every single thing and feeling that we feel in this life. Every bit of it. Pain, sickness, sorrow, the diseases that we go through in this life. He felt it. It came upon him. God allowed it all to come upon him. This is why, and Jesus knew that was coming. That's why in the garden he sweat blood as sweat coming out of him. The pressure that was on him was so great that he sweat blood. Now, Landon, you're in the medical field, and you know the only way that that can happen is through such intense pressure on the human being. Right? It's not normal. God laid it upon him. So, for us to say, God, you don't understand what I'm going through, it's incorrect. Jesus, you don't understand because you were God. You don't understand. You don't understand the pain that I feel. You don't understand the rejection that I feel. You don't understand everything that I'm going through. Yes, he does. Because God laid it on him. So he does get it. He does feel it. He felt it on that cross. That's how much God loved you, that he loaded Jesus with your garbage and my garbage. God loves you. Jesus took it to the cross and he said, I'll do this for you because I love you. I want to share a story, and I told you that this was where this message came from. And I heard it, and I'll tell you, I just cried. And the story goes on as this. It was a husband and wife that had been married for just several years. And the husband was apparently over at his parents' house. And there was a fire that started in the home. and home just went up quickly, very quickly, and he tried his very best to go in and to get his parents out of the home. And the house went up very quickly, and both of his parents were burned to death. And he came out of that badly, badly burned, but he made it. And they pulled him through, patched him up, but his face was badly mangled, badly burned, and badly disfigured, in so much that he would not come out of, after he got out of the hospital, he would not come out of his home. And he shut his wife out. And he said, I do not want you to see me. I do not want anybody to see me. And the hurt that was in his heart, he felt it was his fault that he could not get his parents out of the home. And he felt it was his fault that they had died. And just so burdened with this, he told his wife, he said, you stay out. And she would drop food and she would knock on his door in his bedroom and say, you know, I love you. Please let me in. Please, just please let me in. He refused for the good part of a year, 2 years gone by. So she said, I've got to do something. She went and talked to a plastic surgeon and she said, I don't know what to do. My husband was burned and his face is badly disfigured. And the plastic surgeon said to her, ma'am, I can fix that. All he needs to do is to come. I can fix that. And so she went home and she talking through the door and she said, I've talked to a wonderful plastic surgeon. He says he can fix that for you. And he said, go away from me. I do not want that and I will not come out of this room. So she goes and talks to the plastic surgeon and he says, well, I can't do anything if he won't come. But I can fix that. And so time went by again and her heart was so burdened. Several months later, he would not let her in. He would not let her see him. So she went back to the plastic surgeon. And here's the part that just I broke down and I cried. And the plastic surgeon said, has he changed his mind? And she said, no, sir, nothing has changed. But I have a request for you. She asked him, would you do surgery and disfigure my face so that my husband will see me? He said in all of his years, he had never had someone come to him and ask them to disfigure their face. But she was willing to have her face disfigured so that she could go in and that he would see her. That's how much she loved him. And I lost it. I just lost it. I want you to understand something. That you and I are the man that was badly disfigured. And Jesus said, I'm willing to have me disfigured for you, so that you and I could spend eternity together. That's how much God loves us. And he went through with it. Jesus went through with it. Well, the story continued that the doctor was so moved by this that he went to the home and he knocked on the door in that man's bedroom and said, I'm Dr. So-and-so. And I know your wife has told you about me. And you refuse to come. He said, I can fix your face. And he said through the door, go away. I don't want your help. And he said, sir, I will not go away because I want to tell you what your wife did. She came and she wanted her face dismantled and disfigured so that she could be with you. There was silence for about 3 or 4 minutes. And the door slowly opened. And the man came out and said, if she loves me that much, I will have you do the surgery for me. I want you to think about that. If any man open the door, I will come in and suck. You see, Jesus is not going to make us love him. But he did that for us. And God is sharing with us that same story. This is what Jesus already did. He already did it for you. So that you and him can have fellowship. That's how much God loves us. That's how much he does. Now, if I can stop crying, I'll give you the last point here. God loves us so much that he offers us sonship and daughtership. He offers us to be heirs to the kingdom of God. Come on, do you understand what that means? That he said, I'm going to take you in the condition that you are, sinful and the bad things that you do. He says, I'm going to make you my son. Not only am I going to make you my son, I'm going to make you my daughter, but I'm going to say everything that I have is yours. Amazing, huh? Amazing. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And God says, it's all mine, but I'm giving it to you. He's given us everything that pertains to life, to godliness, to health, spiritually, emotionally. God has done this. I'll give you a couple of scriptures. James chapter 2, verse 5. Has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs to the kingdom of God? Did you deserve it? Have you done anything to deserve that? To get the kingdom of God? And to be called a son of God? A daughter of God? I'm his son. And everything that he has, Rhonda, belongs to you. What kind of love is that? I mean, that's like going to a rich man or woman. They don't know you, but they invite you in and say, I'm going to take you in, and everything I have belongs to you. Wow. Wow. It blew me away when I was just a young man, moved to Oregon, and this guy hired me. Cleaning carpets. I worked for him for 4 days. And on the fifth day, he said, young man, I'm going to be going on vacation starting on Monday, and I'm going to be gone for 4 weeks. He said, here's the key to my house. Here's the key to the truck. Here's the key. Here's my credit cards. Here's everything. He said, there's a whole schedule lined out for you. It's all yours. Take care of it. And I was like, are you kidding me? You've only known me for a week. And I think I might have even said something to him. I said, are you sure? And he said, I trust you, young man. And that was just a very small thing. Everything that he had worked for his whole life, he turned over to me. And said, take care of it for me until I get back. I'm happy to tell you that the business was still there when he got back. And his house was there and everything was done and taken care of. I praise God for that. You see, God so loved the world that he gave. He loves us, folks. And I want to say the best part yet, you know, as far as being kings and priests unto our God, We one day will be like Him. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:2, we had already read this, right? It does not appear what we shall be, for we shall be like Him, right? For we shall see Him as He is. He has a glorified body right now. And we shall be like Him. How many of you want a glorified body? Some of you say, I'll take it right now, right? You can't have it right now, okay? You gotta wait. But we shall be like Him. Think about that. Think about that. We shall be like Jesus. Incredible. The love of God that we have nothing at all to do with. He loves us. He loves us. He offers many things to us today, though. He offers us healing. I've talked about this. Miss Rhonda gave this to me 3 years ago, this month. They're going through open heart surgery. She gave this to me. It says, I am the Lord your healer. We did a whole series on that. And one of the reasons I did that series is because it is God that heals. It is God that heals. I'm here because God is the healer. You're here because God is the healer. All of us, most of us in this room, have had something physical come against us at one point or another. And God says, I am your healer. And He wants you to hold on to what He says because He loves you. He loves you. We're all here because God loves us. And I know the stories of all of you and what God has done for you. All of us at one point. How many of you can recall, just raise your hand, a time when your body was ailing and God healed you? Some of us sick unto death and God healed us. God healed us. I am the Lord your healer. Wow. Look at this love. Examine it. Accept it and love Him back because He did it. Amen? He did it. Oh, Father, my heart has been deeply moved by what You have done for us. And Father, that we would never forget that. Behold, what manner of love. We examined it a little bit today. God help us for the rest of our lives. Until we see You face to face. Till we become as You are. And Father, I'm thanking You for this message today. And I'll thank You for eternity. In Jesus' name. Let this message consume us, Lord, and we don't forget it. Now I want to say, if there's anyone in this house that you've never said, Jesus, I want You. I need You. I accept You. You want to get saved. Is there anybody in this house would say, me? That's me. I need Jesus. Anybody? Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand and say, that's me, Jerry. Pastor, I need Jesus. All right. Those of us that have made Jesus our Lord, I want to commit something to Him today that we will remember His love. How many of you, by a show of your hands, would say, Pastor, I'm going to remember His love for me, and I will never forget it. Father, this morning, how good You are. And we love You. In Jesus' precious name, God's people said amen. Amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.